In this episode, we're going to be swearing like an Orisha in LA traffic.
I mean, just go the speed limit. It's June 3rd, 2007, and Paris Hilton has traded in her Dior dresses and Louboutins for an orange jumpsuit and plastic slip-on sandals. She paces back and forth, but she can't pace far. The room is only 8 by 12. In jail, she's no longer Paris Hilton. She's inmate number 9818783. Gone is her king-size feather bed and her marble-walled bathroom with a jacuzzi tub. All she has in her cell are a metal bunk bed, a toilet with a sink, and a little desk. It's pretty bleak. She doesn't even have a roommate because the sheriff thought it wouldn't be safe for her. The last time she was alone behind a locked door was in Provo Canyon, so it's like a flashback to the worst time of her life. She doesn't sleep, she can't eat, in part because her stomach is in knots all the time, but also because the food is totally gross. Lunch is a bologna sandwich, referred to as mystery meat. It's slapped between two pieces of white bread and some mayonnaise. She's scared shitless.
I mean, I would actually eat that. Am I crazy?
Yes, you're crazy.
Okay.
But I mean, it's more than the food. She feels like the room is closing in on her. She's claustrophobic. It feels like she's right back in Provo, and it's messing with her head. She can see the guards looking at her through a glass see-through door. She feels naked again, stripped of her privacy. But at least she's allowed to see her shrink. His name is Dr. Charles Sophie, and fun fact, one of his clients was Mel B.
Oh my God, Orisha, that fact is fun.
Thank you. I agree. Anyway, Sophie takes one look at Paris and is like, we need to get you out of here immediately. Within days, he petitions the LA County Sheriff for Paris's release, citing medical issues. And after serving just 3 days and 2 hours in jail, Paris walks out a free woman. Well, almost free. She has some new jewelry. An ankle bracelet.
Oh, house arrest. I'm trying to picture her laying by her pool with an ankle bracelet.
I mean, it's a whole new problem. Will I get electrocuted if I jump in?
Wait, would she?
I don't think so. I mean, it's not a toaster.
Okay.
Anyway, when the judge gets wind of her cushy arrangement, he's like, hell no. Paris Hilton is going to serve her time in jail just like everyone else. So back she goes. She's been home just 36 hours.
Damn, that judge is tough.
Yeah. The good news is her attorney got the sentence reduced to 23 days if she remains on good behavior. But still, I mean, 23 days is a long freaking time alone in a cell. But she's strong. She made it through Provo, so she can make it through this.
So what does she do?
Well, she meditates and writes in her journal. And she reads fan mail. Sacks of it. Thousands of letters from around the world. All of them saying how much they love her. Apparently, one fan even tried to send a care package with a dozen red roses and a fruit basket.
Because nothing says, hope your jail time passes fast like a bunch of shit that's gonna rot and die.
He also sent a note that said, don't feel bad, you're Paris Hilton.
True.
All the letters she gets help her feel less alone. She cries as she goes through them, and then she answers as many as she can. Here, want to read one of her replies?
I do, but I won't be doing the voice. So sorry to disappoint the one reviewer who likes those. The fact that you took time out of your day to write me truly means the world, especially at such a difficult and scary time in my life. But I'm being strong and trying to make the best out of the situation. And the letters I'm receiving really do put a smile on my face as I sit here in my cell, sad and alone. Love always, Paris Hilton. XOXO. My God, is Paris Hilton Gossip Girl?
I've been wondering the same thing. But all this time, sad and alone, and away from the craziness and the paps, gives Paris time to think. Remember in Provo how she resolved to become famous so no one could control her again?
Yes.
What she realizes in the pokey is that she's lost her way. What she says is, even though it's been horrible and really hard, I think that God makes everything happen for a reason. And this is my time to figure out what my purpose is in life. What she's starting to realize is that her prison goes much deeper than this cell. She's imprisoned inside a character she created not to let anyone in. And it will take a lot longer than 23 days for her to learn how to break out. From Wondery, I'm Orisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
And this is Even the Rich. In our last episode, Paris was on top of the world. Her brand was blowing up. Her hit reality show got picked up by a new network. She even went through heartbreak and managed to land on her feet. Life was good. And then it wasn't. Her first album didn't sell as well as she'd hoped, and then she got a DUI, which landed her in jail. But now she's getting out and she's ready to make some changes. But change is never easy, especially when it means changing who you are. This is the final episode of our four-part series, We'll Always Have Paris. That's the champagne. It's 12:15 a.m. on June 26. 200 paparazzi have gathered outside of Lynwood Jail, along with dozens of fans. They stand behind yellow tape that lines a walkway to the door. Security guards mill through the crowd. And suddenly, the door opens. It's Paris. She looks like the girl next door with skinny jeans and a long side braid. She smiles and the crowd goes wild. As she walks to the car, the paps follow behind. One fan is damn near losing his mind.
Did he say our princess is free?
He sure did. She's free. But what's amazing about this clip to me, I mean, other than that guy, is Paris, how fresh and young she looks. No couture, no fancy phone, and no bored expression. She's beaming. I'm sure she's overjoyed to finally be free after 23 days in the tank, but I also think it must feel good to get this kind of support. When she hops into the back of the car, she grabs onto her mom like she's a lifeline. Both her parents are there. The driver inches forward and finally breaks free of the paps, and they're gone. Later that night, as she pulls down her eye mask and pulls back her silk sheets, I imagine she's thinking about how much she has to do. First up is an interview tomorrow with Larry King, and she's going to use it to set the record straight. The next day, Paris arrives at the CNN studios looking fresh and well-rested. Today, she's chosen a beige silk dress with a little bit of lace. It's a classic look. Her only accessory is a pair of gold earrings, the kind of outfit that sends a message. She's changed. Paris enters a studio and sits down in front of the colored lights. Larry King sits across from her. She smiles at him brightly, but inside, she's a ball of nerves. I'm sure his bright purple shirt isn't making it any easier to calm down.
I love how Larry blends classic and bold all at the same time. Not just anyone can do that.
Preach. What makes it all the more nervous-making is the whole thing is live. There will be no cutting out the boring stuff or the flubs. It's just Paris as herself. When she starts to speak, she doesn't even sound the same. The baby voice is gone and a sincere, poised woman is in her place. Larry jumps right in.
Why are you doing this interview?
I consider you an icon and I really respect you and it's an honor for me to be here today.
As the interview progresses, Larry is nice. Like, he's really gentle. He asks her why do any interview at all? Why come out and talk? I mean, she just got out of jail. She sort of fidgets around and finally says she wants people to know what she went through. She says it was a traumatic experience that she's grown from. He's seen the footage of the crush of paps waiting at the jail the night before, and he asks her what it's like to have photographers lurking around every corner.
I mean, you don't call him up and say, I'm going down to 3rd Street tomorrow, be there.
No, actually, from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep, they're outside my house following me all day long.
And then he gets down to the meat of the interview. What Paris wants to talk about. He asks her what she's learned.
The purpose of jail, prison, jail, confinement, is to teach a lesson.
Yes. Well,
at least that's a big part of it. Did it work with you?
It was a very traumatic experience, but I feel like God does make everything happen for a reason. And it gave me, you know, a time out in life just to really find out what is important and what I want to do, figuring out who I am.
She sounds like she means it.
I know. I think she does. But then, towards the end of the interview, Larry lobs a softball. If you've ever watched Larry King, he's one of those brilliant guys who knows something about everything. But this question is pretty tame. Paris mentions that she read the Bible a lot in prison. So he asks her what her favorite passage is. And that's when it all goes to shit. She stumbles and hesitates and then looks at her notes. Finally, she says, I don't have a favorite. In other words, she can't come up with a single passage. And with this one small gaffe, everyone at home who's watching decides that this new Paris, not the old Paris, is the act. The next morning, Gawker writes, the articulate, multi-talented businesswoman appeared contrite, well-prepared, and... Ah, who are we kidding? It's Paris Hilton. Larry King nailed her on a Bible question. The Philadelphia Inquirer is even more brutal. The critic's byline asks, has jail taken the fun out of Paris? He calls her a garden variety Dumbo and writes, "Is one of our premier court jesters fading like a ghost? Please don't do that, Paris. At least have the decency to leave us memories of some tragic downfall."
Wow, what an ass bag.
Totally. But here's a problem Paris is facing. How can you change if nobody wants you to, when people prefer you as their punchline? And it's only going to get harder because her ditzy rich persona is still on the air every week on Simple Life Season 5.
Oh my God, I completely forgot about The Simple Life with all the jail drama. Okay, catch us up because I really did love that show.
Well, I have a lot to catch you up on. Remember how Season 4 got abysmal ratings?
Kind of. No, I don't.
Okay. Well, it got only 1.3 million viewers compared to the premiere, which had 13 mil. But here's the thing. 1.3 mil is abysmal for Fox, but Season 4 is on E. And on E, those ratings are huge, the best they've ever had. So they order a Season 5, which is good because they left Season 4 on a cliffhanger.
Okay, now that I remember. Nicole and Paris finally come face to face. Nicole says to Paris, "We need to talk."
Yep.
So do they?
They do. In fact, it turns out E's idea for the fifth season is what gets them back together in real life. They wanted to put them on a deserted island with a bunch of survivalists. Apparently, the two hated the concept so much that they actually make a date to discuss it over Caesar salad at a West Hollywood restaurant. One diner would later say, "They looked like best friends to me. They chatted nonstop." Then they pay the check and leave the restaurant. And surprise, surprise, the Paps are there to capture it all.
Are you friends again?
Oh my God, can I just say, these clips really make me reconsider my dreams of stardom. They can't even move.
I know, it's terrible. And then the next day, they're splashed across the tabloids. But this time, the public is thrilled. Lucy and Ethel are back together again. 5 months later, they board the bus to Malibu and arrive at Camp Shawnee to start production.
Aw, a cliffhanger with a real-life happy ending.
Well, except Paris goes to jail right around the time the second episode airs, and the ratings for Season 5 are crap, down 20%. And then Nicole gets a DUI and spends 4 days in jail. It's not a great look, not even for E. So on July 30th, 2007, they announce The Simple Life is done. No Season 6. The Daily News quotes someone on staff saying, "We felt like the real-life drama of their lives overshadowed anything happening on the show."
Crazy when your real life becomes juicier than your fake one.
Yeah, talk about even the rich. Publicly, Paris acts like she's relieved. She tells the press, "It's been a great 5 years and we had so much fun. I'm happy to end it at that." It's all part of the ice-cool persona. But you've got to imagine it hurts. I mean, it's the show that made her a superstar.
Plus, is anyone ever really happy about their show being canceled? I mean, actors just have to say that shit to look like good sports.
Oh, 100%. The last episode airs on August 7th, and Paris says goodbye to The Simple Life forever. Paris may not have a TV show anymore, but there's always the movies. And what better place to show the world she can play more than just an entitled heiress than the big screen? And now we're at the part you've been waiting for, Brooke. The hottie and the naughty.
Okay, let me guess. Paris plays the hot girl.
Yep, totally against type, right?
Yeah.
But she has depth. She plays the sweet and caring friend with a heart of gold who cares deeply about her not-so-good-looking best friend, a.k.a. the naughty. Okay, so here's the plot. A guy asks her on a date, and the only way she'll go out with him is if he gets a date for her best friend, too.
So a rom-com.
Yeah, but with a lot of gross-out humor. They make the best friend look sort of like a corpse, except she's supposed to be human. It doesn't really make sense. But there's still this great message at the end. This is Paris on a press junket explaining it.
"Just don't judge a book by its cover, and don't treat people, you know, rudely just based on the outside appearance, because you never know what you're going to get."
Okay, so that's promising.
Yeah, except it bombs. Like, really bombs. It gets 6% on Rotten Tomatoes and earns the IMDb title as one of the bottom 100 films of all time. And because it's Paris, critics are only too happy to tear it apart. One reviewer says, "She delivers lines as if she's heavily sedated. And there's absolutely nothing going on behind those bright blue contact lenses." One of the nicer reviews asks, "How did this even get made? It's the start of a very bad streak." Her next bomb is called Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Okay, good title, albeit wildly confusing.
Yeah, but not as confusing as the plot. An evil, futuristic company that specializes in human organs employs a repo man to take what they need.
Okay.
Yeah. Paris plays a woman addicted to surgery and drugs. She gets the drugs by having sex with a grave robber. And she wears this jet black wig and dark goth makeup.
Okay, this is getting better. And then what happens?
Well, the movie is released and it tanks. It gets 2 stars on Rotten Tomatoes out of 60 votes total.
So no one saw it?
Not many. But enough that Paris gets nominated for a Razzie, otherwise known as the Golden Raspberries. It's like the opposite of the Oscars. They give out awards for the worst movies and performances of the year. And in 2009, Paris sweeps them. She gets Worst Actress and Worst Couple for The Hottie and the Naughty. And then she also gets Worst Supporting Actress for Repo, The Genetic Opera.
What is her acceptance speech like?
Well, Paris doesn't attend the ceremony. Most recipients of the Razzies don't. But shit, it has to suck. I mean, here she's trying to stretch herself professionally, show the world she can do more than play this entitled airhead character she invented. But again, she's derided. It's like no matter what she does, build a brand, release an album, put herself out there in movies, people can't see her as anything other than a dumb blonde heiress. I mean, what would you do?
I would 100% show up to those Razzies and give a speech that blows them away. But that's just me.
Ugh, I would love to hear that speech. What Paris does is she falls back on what she knows. And this time, she doubles down.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank?
Literally always.
Okay. Well, the new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look, and it comes in luxe gold packaging. It feels incredibly high-end, but it is a lot more affordable.
Oh, yeah. The Panorama Mascara lives up to its name by giving your lashes panoramic volume and a fully fanned-out look. Its tapered mascara wand catches every single lash, including those hard-to-reach corner lashes.
When I do wear makeup, I do the bare minimum, and that's usually eyeliner and mascara and lip gloss.
Yeah.
And so mascara has to really pop.
Yes.
And let me tell you, L'Oreal, this baby pops.
Yeah. I do love the packaging. Like, I'm all about that.
So if you're looking for an affordable mascara that gives you voluminous, lengthened lashes, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
So as a listener of Even the Rich, you know that audio piques the imagination, which is why we're so excited for Audible's new collection of exclusive thrillers. They feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances that really bring the story to life.
Oh, yeah. The next listen on my list is the psychological thriller, The Silent Patient.
Ooh.
So it's all about a therapist who tries to unravel the mystery of a woman who refuses to talk or give any explanation as to why she shot her husband. I mean, it's going to be the perfect binge listen. And you know, I love my thrillers.
I can agree. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
Yeah. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/eventherich or text Even the Rich to 500-500.
That's audible.com/eventherich or text Even the Rich to 500-500 to get started.
Paris may have expanded her range on the big screen, but that hasn't carried over to her real life. Maybe she's thinking, if people love this character so much, why not give them more? At the start of 2010, she goes on the party circuit, hopping from club to club across the globe. It's just like the old times. Pap snapped photos of her with NFL star Reggie Bush at a Vegas club, holding a champagne bottle up in the air, dancing wildly. In Madrid, Pop Sugar speculates she's meeting with her ex, Cristiano Ronaldo. In Cannes, at the film festival, she poses on the red carpet in a boho jungle maxi, and the press wonder where her date is. Paris actually has a bunch of business meetings in Europe, too, but the papers don't care about that. They want to know what she's wearing, who she's seeing, and how much she's had to drink. And then, in July, things take a turn. Paris attends the FIFA World Cup in South Africa with a friend. And when they're on their way out after the game, the police catch a whiff of pot. But weed isn't legal here. Her friend takes the fall and the court lets them off with a fine. But it's not the kind of publicity Paris wants. But still, I mean, it's not that bad, right? Her friend smoked some weed and she was there, so what? But then, 2 weeks later, she's stopped again at an airport in Corsica with less than a gram of pot in her purse. Again, she's released. She tries to make light of it, tweeting, "The stories saying I've been arrested are completely false. I'm having the best vacation of my life."
Okay, so I know it's just a little ganja, but it's gotta be a wake-up call, right? I mean, the last time she thought she was above the law, it did not go well.
Unfortunately, it's not. A month later, on August 27th at 11 p.m., Paris is sitting in the passenger seat of a Cadillac Escalade as her boyfriend, Cy Waits, maneuvers down the Vegas Strip. Cy is a wealthy entrepreneur who manages a bunch of the hottest nightclubs here. Paris has been dating him for a little over a year. They've got the windows rolled down when they pass a cop. He's on a motorcycle, and he smells a vapor trail wafting out of the car. He's like, huh, what's that? And then he turns on his lights. Paris is like, oh shit, not this again. When the cop pulls over the car, a crowd starts to gather on the street. Paris asks if they can go to the nearby Wynn Casino for some privacy. And once there, she starts to panic. She opens her purse and pulls out a tube of lip balm. And a small envelope of cocaine falls out. But she does say it's not hers. The Chanel bag she's carrying belongs to a friend.
So she borrowed the bag and all of the contents?
The officers don't buy it either. They arrest her on the spot along with her boyfriend, Cy. The two are handcuffed and taken down to the Clark County Jail, where they're fingerprinted and photographed. And then Paris is released at 3 a.m. 3 weeks later, she pleads guilty to 2 misdemeanors and is sentenced to 200 hours of community service, a $2,000 fine, a drug abuse treatment program, and a year of probation. After reading the sentence, the judge warns her that if she does not abide by the terms, she will also serve 1 year in jail.
Okay, if this isn't a wake-up call, then I don't know what is.
Well, she's about to get another one on the other side of the world. It's September 20th, 2010, 2 days after Paris pleads guilty. Now she's on a private jet headed for Tokyo. This will be the first stop on her Asian tour for her fashion and fragrance lines. At this point, she has more than a dozen handbag and accessory stores all over the world and is opening even more. But when she gets off the plane, she's stopped by immigration. Japan is tough on drugs, and they decide Paris isn't welcome there. Paris figures she'll just go on to the next stop of the tour, Malaysia and Indonesia, but same story. Turns out they have strict drug laws too. So she won't be able to do any press in this part of the world, which isn't exactly great for business, nor is this kind of press. But when it comes time to leave and the paps follow her into the airport, she's as breezy cool as ever. Like, everything's just fine. Take a listen.
Why are you leaving?
I'm going back home, but I look forward to coming back to Japan in the future, and I love everyone, and can't wait to see my fans when I come back.
She's seriously acting like nothing just happened?
She is. She gives the press the same I don't give a fuck attitude she's used a million times before. The one that says, say what you want about me, I don't give a damn. But this isn't her only problem. It's 2011, and Paris is now being outshined. She's still running her multi-million dollar business, but the tabloids are giving more and more column inches to Paris's old friend and ex-personal assistant, Kim.
Oh, I wondered when Kim was going to enter the story. Also, shameless plug, we'll be doing a deeper dive into Kim and the Kardashians in our next series.
I know, I can't wait. Anyway, Paris hired Kim back in 2006. The two of them have actually been friends for years. They go all the way back to nursery school days with Nicole. Now Kim is trying to make a career out of organizing closets for the rich and famous. Paris is at the peak of her career with a simple life, so she doesn't have time to make her closets look pretty. So it seems like a good fit. Pretty soon, the two friends are photographed everywhere together. Shopping, clubbing, premieres, P. Diddy's white party. They even take a girls' trip to Ibiza together. Paris is the bigger name, but the camera loves Kim too. And it doesn't take long for Kim to figure out she loves the spotlight. And in 2007, she gets her own reality show, along with her family, and it's called, well, we all know what it's called.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
The critics pan it, but viewers, like you and me, love it. I imagine Paris is happy for her friend, or maybe she's jealous, who knows. But as time goes by, there's this shift. Now when the two are together, the tabs are more interested in Kim. By 2011, it's like Paris is suddenly in her shadow. And I can't imagine she likes it. I mean, Paris laid the groundwork for being famous, and Kim has taken the torch and run with it. People are connecting with the Kardashians in a way they never have with Paris. BuzzFeed put it best. They wrote, where Hilton was aloof and artificial, the Kardashians seemed completely open, performing a kind of emotional nudity. They happily cataloged nearly every moment of their lives, from divorces to family rifts to gagging over dog poop duty.
Oof, that can't feel good for Paris.
Yeah, probably not. But I can't imagine why she would even want to be vulnerable on camera. I mean, it's like no matter what she does, the tabs spin it some other way. They just want to see her fail. And up until now, she's taken every failure with a grain of salt. Show canceled? It's cool.
Jail? I'm good. I learned my lesson. Rejected from a foreign country? No biggie. Love to you all. But now it looks like people want more than everything's great. The world is changing. They want to be let in on the ups and downs and the dirty, messy parts of your real life. It's how people connect, and they're quick to sniff out inauthenticity.
Well, to be fair, the press has pretty much cataloged every dirty, messy part of her life since she was like 18.
Yeah, so true. But she had these Teflon, I don't give a shit walls. Now she plans to give them the real Paris in her new reality show called The World According to Paris. Here's what she says about the series.
It's a show like I've never done before. I'm really letting cameras into my real life. And it's just a really all access pass into what goes on.
Okay, I'm down.
Right? It premieres on June 1st, 2011 on the Oxygen Network. The intro has all these fabulous photos of Paris through the years. And over them, Paris's voice tees up the premise. She says, I'm turning 30 this year, and it's made me think that it's time to say goodbye to Paris the party girl and hello to Paris the grown-up. In other words, she wants to show the world who she really is. And she really does let the public in. In the first episode, Paris moves in with her sister Nikki after a knife-wielding stalker tries to break into her house. She also reports for her court-mandated community service from the drug bust in Vegas.
Okay, so that's brave.
Yeah, but...
Oh, God, why is there always a but?
Because there's always a but when it comes to rich people. Anyway, as they're driving through one of LA's low-income neighborhoods, Paris turns to her assistant and asks, am I going to be working with, like, convicts and, like, prisoner people? Which sounds, well, like the Paris everyone has come to expect. And then she wears Louboutin heels while painting over graffiti and complains about it the whole time. Later in the episode, she has an argument with her boyfriend, Sai, after he catches her texting with an ex.
Okay, so not exactly a grown-up reboot of the Paris persona.
Exactly. And no one is interested in this Paris anymore. It's the least watched series on Oxygen that year. And to make matters worse, the reviews are brutal. Entertainment Weekly gives the series a D. For Paris, I imagine the worst part is they compare her show with Keeping Up with the Kardashians. They say, unlike Kim's show, it fails to deliver any frothy fun, and the star comes across as completely unlikable.
Damn, Paris can't catch a break.
Nope. The New York Times sums it up this way. As a reality heroine, Paris seems a little passé. A Sony Walkman in an iPod era. A Friendster in the age of Facebook. Miss Hilton was a genius at self-invention, but in the world according to Paris, at least, she shows no flair for reinvention. The Times is just making an observation, but it's got a sting. Paris is the OG when it comes to building a brand out of nothing but a name and image and her smarts. She pretty much invented it, and now the world is moving on to someone newer who's taking a page from her book. But Paris puts on a brave smile and pushes forward like she always does, and decides to do an interview with ABC News. It's July 20th, 2011, and Paris's living room has been overrun with cameramen and gaffers. They're turning her house into an interview set. Her blue velvet sofa with cheetah pillows is the backdrop. The interviewer is Dan Harris. He's a seasoned journalist who always appears calm and cool. The producer pulls two accent chairs close together to allow for a more intimate conversation about Paris's life and her new show. Paris has done these kinds of interviews hundreds of times by now. And this one's for Good Morning America, which is a friendly morning show. So this should be a cakewalk. Dan starts with topics like the baby voice. Paris is glad to finally set the record straight.
It's a character that I developed for The Simple Life. They wanted someone who is an airhead and kind of had the baby voice. So that's a character that I had to do and continue to do for 5 seasons.
She says sometimes when she's on camera, she reverts back to it because she did it for so long. And then he turns the convo to her businesses. Dan says, why do you work so hard? She says she likes being able to do whatever she wants and buy what she wants. But then Dan moves to the hard-hitting questions.
Do you worry at times that the people who have followed in your footsteps, like Kim Kardashian, are overshadowing you?
No, not at all.
There's been some talk about the ratings in the show being low. Has that upset you?
No.
Hold on. That's kind of a bullshit question. I mean, who wouldn't be bothered by their show not doing well?
Yeah, and he's not letting up. And the more he goes on, the more stony-faced Paris gets. She clearly wasn't expecting this.
Do you ever worry about your moment having passed? You want to wrap up?
Paris looks off-screen to her publicist, like, is this really happening? What should I do? And of course, the PR person is probably panicking. And then there's a cut. To Paris's credit, she pulls herself together and finishes the interview. Well, she sort of finishes it. She tells Dan the truth. She doesn't want all that being used on the show. She tells him she's been in the business for 15 years, and it's important to reinvent herself and take on new projects. And then she walks Dan through her mansion and shows him the mini mansion she built for her dogs.
Oh, God, mixed messages again.
I know. She tells him the mini mansion is a perfect replica of her own mansion. It's a 300-square-foot, two-story Spanish-style villa, and the furniture is all Philippe Stark. There's even a chandelier and air conditioning. It cost $325,000.
Okay, well, I let my dog live in my apartment, and it's bigger than 300 square feet, so...
You are so generous. The interview airs on the morning of the finale episode. 3 weeks later, Oxygen Network cancels her show. Everyone has highs and lows in life. But when I think Paris, to me, this is her rock bottom. She keeps trying these new things, right? But she tries them while still hanging on to these old vestiges of who she once was and who she thinks she's supposed to be. It's like she's too scared to step out into the unknown. But that's what she needs to do. It reminds me of this quote that I'm going to paraphrase. When you're about to step off into the darkness, faith is believing one of two things will happen. There will be something solid to stand on, or you'll learn how to fly.
So Paris needs to find something solid to stand on.
Or she's got to learn how to fly.
Life is busier than ever. It might be harder to find time these days to grocery shop, prep, and cook healthy and hearty meals. I get it. But Factor's got you covered.
Yeah, so Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, delivered right to your door, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Exactly. And Factor is tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. If you're traveling or still finishing up last week's meals, you can always pause or reschedule deliveries.
I mean, I know I've talked before about how much I love Factor because it's just so easy.
And it doesn't taste like, you know, the microwavable yes. meals you see, especially in rom-coms when we're trying to heighten and highlight how sad and pathetic this woman's life is.
Yeah.
They don't taste like that. They taste so good as if you made them yourself or hired a chef. Head to factormeals.com/rich50 and use code rich50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code rich50 at factormeals.com/rich50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES. Promo code IFSTORIES10.
It's 2012 and Paris has been laying low. She hasn't really done any TV or movies except playing herself. Oh, and the voice of a poodle on a Christmas TV movie. But she hasn't had any more run-ins with the law either. She's been putting all of her energy into working her businesses, which are still raking in the big bucks. And she's starting to think about a new endeavor, something that would make her happy. She remembers how much fun she used to have at clubs. She's been going to them since she was 16, and she loves to dance, especially to electronic dance music.
The only thing I know about EDM is that there's a lot of ecstasy involved.
Yeah, that's all I know too. So Paris starts going to EDM festivals and shows with her new DJ boyfriend, Afrojack. In 2012, Afrojack is one of the best DJs out there. He headlines festivals like Ultra in Miami Beach and Tomorrowland in Belgium, and he takes Paris with him, right into the DJ booth where she watches what he does every night. And she's having a blast, which gets her thinking, maybe I can do this. There's only one problem. Well, actually, there's more than one problem. First, back in 2012, DJing is a male-dominated world. There was literally only one female on the top-ranked list, and it's actually a duo. And then two, she's never done it before. But she wants to try. The crowds, the energy, the music, this is her happy place. So she figures, what the hell? It's not like she hasn't been panned before. It's Saturday, June 23rd, 2012. People have traveled from all over the world to attend the Pop Music Festival in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Paris is there too. But tonight, she isn't here to just dance. She's here to spin her first set. She's wearing a black rhinestone bodysuit with matching gloves and diamond-encrusted headphones. I mean, after all, it is Paris. But she's probably less concerned with how she looks and more concerned with calming her nerves. She's following J-Lo.
Ooh, I would not want to follow Jenny from the block.
No, not at all. So J-Lo finishes the song, Dance Again, and struts off the stage. The stadium is buzzing. And now it's Paris's turn. But she's ready. She's been studying the mixing board, learning terms like gain level, phase reversal, and phantom power. She takes the stage alone in front of 30,000 people. Paris knows half of them are probably waiting to see her fail. And then she launches into her set. She's dancing and feeling the techno music. But things start going sideways. During her set, a mystery hand reaches up from under the table to tweak the levels on her mixer.
Okay, awkward.
It gets worse. When she steps up to play her single produced by Afrojack, Rihanna's We Found Love starts up at the same time. It's kind of a mess.
I mean, I would have assumed it was just some new mashup, but I'm sure she was embarrassed.
Maybe, or maybe not. Everyone can see her face on a giant LCD screen right behind her. And she just smiles and winks at the crowd. She could be faking it, but to me, she looks happy. She's in her element, and people are dancing. It must be the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, I'm feeling it too.
The reviews are tepid at best, of course. But she actually gets offered another gig. This one at a club in Cannes, and it's big. DJs like Rick Ross and Wiz Khalifa have spun there. Most people have to be at the top of the game to get these kinds of offers. But Paris is Paris, and the EDM crowd loves her. She figures she can learn as she goes, and she draws huge paychecks. She does residencies at some of the top clubs in the world. A four-night gig in Ibiza earns her $2.7 million, which is like $347,000 an hour.
Wow. Okay, she's found her thing.
It seems like it, right? Although not everyone is excited to welcome her into the elite world of top-paid DJs. Deadmau5 goes on his social media and calls Paris a phony. And then he does this racing metaphor that I can't make sense of, even though I read it three times. You want to try?
Sure. Okay. Personally, I would pay about as much to see her perform as fans would pay to watch me struggle to get out of first gear and 20 feet off the starting grid in an Indy 500 race without ending up in a wreck. Okay, he's wrong. I would pay to watch him do anything in that giant mouse head.
Yeah, that's a really good point. What's kind of amazing is that Paris just lets his comments roll off her back. She tweets back, sorry that I'm hashtag killing it while doing what I love and live for.
Yes, love a good clapback.
Mm-hmm. But where she goes high, Deadmau5 goes low, like really low. If I wanted attention, I'd put out a sex tape, fuck a dentist, then charge $1 million for root canals.
Okay, he really should refrain from metaphors. They're not good.
Yeah, they're complete trash. But some people agree with him. Google Paris and DJ and you'll find a bunch of haters. But there are a ton more that love her. By the end of 2014, Paris is awarded Best Breakthrough DJ. That same year, she puts out a story on her Instagram, just 10 words on a white background. It says, you're the artist of your own life. Make it beautiful.
Love it.
Over the next few years, Paris continues to rake in the dough. Money for appearances, money for her business ventures. By 2018, she has 25 fragrances and 18 product lines sold in over 60 countries. She writes and produces music, and she becomes the highest paid female DJ in the world. She's in control. And in 2019, she's finally ready to let down her walls. For real.
Haven't I heard this before?
It sounds like it, right? But this time, she's making a documentary. Production companies have approached her about a doc over the years, and she wasn't ready. But then she sees a film on the brilliant actress and inventor, Hedy Lamarr. It was directed by a woman named Alexandra Dean, and Paris reaches out and asks her if she'll do a film on her. She says, I don't think anyone sees me for who I am. And she thinks Alexandra just might. She gives the documentary crew full access to her life. They interview her family, including her parents, and she gives them old footage of her as a kid. Little Paris opening presents at Christmas, going to the zoo with her family, playing dress up with her mom's clothes. And then, as Paris is deciding just how deep and revealing she's willing to go, she gets a call from an old classmate, someone from Provo Canyon. She asks Paris if she remembers what happened. Remember, Paris has never spoken about her experience to anyone. And now, here's someone wanting to talk. Someone who experienced it too. So they make a plan to get together and decide to invite more survivors. She has no idea what's going to happen in the meeting. She's stuffed the whole experience so far down, she doesn't even know how she will react. But she decides to let the cameras roll. On the day of the shoot, Paris wears sweats but is anything but comfortable. She's angry and sad and anxious as she and four friends from Provo share their experiences in Paris's living room. One by one, each woman talks about the horrific things that happened to them at Provo. The physical abuse, the mental abuse, being locked in solitary confinement, being stripped of their dignity. Then they create these homemade posters that read Provo Canyon School, except the word school is crossed off. Instead, each of the women write words about their experience at Provo. When it's Paris's turn, she writes, verbally, physically, and emotionally abused. And then she writes down the effects: trust issues, fear, and anxiety, the wounds that Provo left behind. And then each of the women puts duct tape over their mouths and pose with their handmade signs while Paris films them with her phone. This is all in the documentary. And outside the documentary, Paris is becoming one of the leaders of a movement. She uses her massive social media presence to launch a campaign called #BreakingCodeSilence to expose all the so-called emotional growth schools like Provo. I should say here that the Provo Canyon School was sold back in 2000 and is under entirely different management.
Yes, disclaimer.
Yeah. But before it shut down, there were other students who were allegedly mistreated in the year since Paris left. And similar schools exist throughout the country.
God, I mean, that takes a lot for her to unpack that in a documentary. Like, that's really brave.
Yeah, I know. There's a scene after she films with the women. She's just standing in her giant closet by herself, tears streaming down her face. Mm. It's so raw and so honest and real. Listen.
Sometimes I feel like so many things, but sometimes like this robot and this character that I did and talking with them, like I started remembering who I was before. And just, I don't know. It makes me sad they took that away.
And then she looks around at all her clothes and her shoes and she says this.
When I look around my life, like, it's like a cartoon. I don't know, like, I've created this fantasy world cartoon. But the thing is, I don't even give a f*** about any of these things.
I mean, you guys have to see this documentary. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I gotta think, there's gotta be some catharsis for Paris in all of this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really do. Even though it's not like you confess all this pain in the world and suddenly you're better. Mm-hmm. Life doesn't work like that, obviously. But in the final scene of the doc, she stands on a balcony and tells the director she feels like she's at a good place in her life. She doesn't feel so alone anymore. And because of that, she can make a change. She can make a difference. I don't know. The whole scene makes me want to cry. She's pretty amazing.
I agree.
On October 9th, 2020, Paris spearheads a protest rally outside of the Provo Canyon School and helps launch a petition to get Provo Canyon shut down. To date, they've gathered almost 200,000 signatures. And that's pretty much the end of the story. Except no one's story's ever really over, right? Especially Paris's. She's done more in 39 years than most people do in their whole lives.
Yeah, people definitely don't give her enough credit.
Yeah, her brand's grossed over $3 billion. And she's the OG social media influencer. She carved out that niche before social media even existed. She now has over 50 million followers across all of her platforms. She's even developing her own platform based in a virtual reality.
Of course she is. I'm tired just thinking about doing this much work.
I know, same. I think her willingness to take risks and reinvent is what keeps her on top. People recognize her face around the world and buy her stuff. Love Paris or hate her, she's an icon. And one thing's for sure, she deserves our respect. And that's hot. This is episode 4 of our 4-part series, Paris Hilton.
If you like what you're hearing, we'd love you to give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. We'd love to know your thoughts.
We use many sources when researching our stories, like The Hiltons by J. Randy Taraborelli. But we especially recommend the amazing documentary, This is Paris, directed by Alexandra Dean. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. Adam Prince wrote this episode. Editing by Allison Reimer. Our producer is Natalie Shisha. Our associate producer is Kate Young. Our audio engineer is Sergio Enriquez. Sound design is by James Morgan. Our executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Marshall Louis, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.